From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. Apologies for the sound in part one, but I think we got a better line now. Are we there, chaps?
Yes.
Oh, you're better.
Yes.
You're better. The only problem is Lee Banks.
Well, yeah, but I've started speaking like this now. Come
on. Yeah, that's better.
I was talking quite normally a moment ago, but...
It's catching. Oh, my God. Yeah. Rachel's a virus. We haven't got a Lee this week because he's got man flu. And I have to say, just before I forget, hi to Phil Prosser. Phil, get better soon. Hope everything goes well for you. Facebook has been blamed for a rising divorce rate.
Not surprised in the least.
Why?
Because, A, either your partner is always on Facebook, therefore leaving no conversation or interaction with other spouse, or
right.
People are cheating on people on Facebook.
Right. So would somebody please explain to me, you see, because Facebook gets knocked for everything. I think if there was a plane crash, it would be Facebook's fault soon.
And
the truth is, I am, you know, in a former life, a bloke who worked at a talk station. And I would sit there whilst I was waiting to go on air, sometimes, listening to the agony on, where a bloke phones up and goes, Rachel, could you help me, please? Rachel just laughs at me. It's not a good agony.
Rachel would say, what's plastic and goes clunk, and then hang up the phone.
Yes, not a good agony aunt. So, perhaps I need an agony uncle in the shape of Mark. So I go, yeah. Mark, I've got a problem.
Yes, well, I didn't really want to say anything about it before, but now even... Listen, as far as I can make out, I'm not at all surprised, but I don't think Facebook is causing the divorce. I think the kind of people who go on Facebook are the people who get divorced anyway, and I have to say that I think that Facebook has just probably replaced something from the past. I'm not quite sure which.
Well, that's where I was going, because
people would either be stamp collecting, train spotting, or Facebooking.
Well, no, because in years past, the agony aunts were the big things of radio, where man would phone up and go, hello, Rachel. I'm really sorry. I've got a problem. And I don't know what to do. I'm having an affair. And they would phone up a radio station and tell millions of people that they were doing it. How stupid can you be?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, at least on Facebook you can hide a bit because you don't have to use your own voice and your own picture and your own name. But on the radio, how do you disguise your voice? Well, Mark does it with Rachel. Yeah, I know.
He does lovely Australian.
Isn't he lovely, is he really?
It was bleeding good, mate.
Bleeding good, mate.
Right. Your connection's going in, by the way.
It's not very good, is it? We'll keep plodding along.
Not again.
Yeah, I think it's you, Rach.
It's my tin can with the strings.
I think it's yours. Why don't you go and pour some water on the string?
Yeah, it must do, because it's clearly melting.
Yeah. That's a really old joke that only old radio people will understand. Michael says, this sounds like a story from Jeremy Kyle. And I agree. Your turn, Rach.
What?
Blimey.
Sorry, I was channeling Foghorn Leghorn then.
Yeah, you were rather, weren't you? You're supposed to be the voice of the girls, you know.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm right onto it. I really.
Right.
Who am I reading?
Carolyn.
Carolyn. I love Carolyn.
Yeah.
Carolyn says, "Who needs Facebook for a divorce? So they're quite good at DIY."
Good girl. Good girl. Rachel, you're going to have to start your computer again, I'm afraid. Come back when you're ready.
All right.
Thank you.
Don't start talking about Les Mis without me.
I won't. I promise we'll come back to that one. That's Rachel disappeared again for a minute. We'll get her back on the line in a second. There's got to be something wrong with Australia today. Perhaps it's too hot down there, Mark.
Well, that's probably what it is. I think, you know, those wires are burning up.
Gosh.
A huge problem with arson is going around and it's not hot enough and they start setting fire to things. It's just quite amazing, really.
It is a bit weird, isn't it?
You know, I think Australia is burning down.
Well, we won't do Les Mis. We'll keep Les Mis for her, shall we?
Right.
Okay. We'll move on to Lance.
Les Mis.
Les Mis. We'll move on to Lance Armstrong, who's been with Oprah Winfrey, trying to get all of his sponsorship back. Oh, cynical me. And go, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Well, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know what the point is. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, he's making these admissions, and I'm not too quite sure why, because he's now landing himself in very, very serious trouble. The whole thing seems a bit strange. Was he paid by Oprah Winfrey to come onto the television and say all this stuff?
I don't know, Mark. I would have not thought so. No. I think this is a mammoth PR stunt myself.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, I'm sure it's reasoned out in some way. I mean, you know, it seems that the man is a drugs cheat and he cheats the sport and so forth. But, you know, by the look of it, he had had, although he'd been stripped of his titles, he had quite substantially been getting away with it. So why has he decided to put his hand up? I'm sure that it's, well, I'm sure there must be a reason.
I'll tell you what's running through my mind. That we know from this year and previous years as it goes that no one's actually beaten Lance Armstrong's timings on things like the Tour de France. And that even goes for people like Bradley Wiggins, who, you know, he is a fast cyclist. No two ways about it. But nobody recently has got anywhere near the speed of the people that were involved between 1999 and 2005. No one's touched him. Now, I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying anything else, but it does strike me as if everybody was jumping on a bandwagon because they always wanted to win, and therefore there's some elements in here. Hello. There's some elements in here that make me wonder if there wasn't a bit of peer pressure to get him to do that.
I'm sure there was.
Do you see what I mean?
But you think no other agenda?
Well, you think of the sponsorship that there is in cycling. Huge sponsorship, yeah?
He's faced a loss of liberty here. I mean, you know, I mean, there are perjury issues. Certainly in the United Kingdom, I don't know if it's in the States as well. But, you know, I mean, this is a man who's looking at doing time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure. It seems we got Rachel back. Hopefully it's working again now, and we'll move back to the film Les Mis.
Les Mis.
Les Mis. And to be honest, boys and girls,
genius film.
I've never ever figured out why they called a karaoke night Les.
Hey?
I've never worked it out.
Yeah. I don't even get it.
You don't get it? Well,
I don't get it.
Les Mis, in French, is Les Mis, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a dirge song that runs through a programme. Everybody sits there going, in their seats, doing karaoke. Why would you call it Les?
Maybe it was not
Les
Mis, based after his father, Les.
Well, it could be.
I don't know.
And anyway, so why is it that films can get canned by critics for exploitation of franchising, and yet nobody's done the same with the film about Les?
Because it's brilliant, that's why. And my Hugh Jackman just picked up a nice Golden Globe. Thank you very much.
Well, anyway, Tom says, the book was awful, the stage show was worth, and now a film, for God's sake, miserable, just sums it up.
Tom, I don't like you anymore.
He says it's like one tune served up in a different ways. The same could be said of Mozart, Beethoven, and the Beatles.
Oh my God, he's a Philistine. Let's just never speak to Tom again.
Yeah, I agree.
And Aidan agrees with Tom. He says, trouble with Les Mis is it's basically one song, as far as I can tell, served up in dozens of different ways. It's the musical equivalent of KFC.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I hate him too.
Do you really? Oh, well, you won't like John either. One song served up in dozens of different ways. That's the ABBA formula.
All three of these guys are going straight to hell when they die.
I have to say, though, the ABBA comment isn't far wrong.
It is. You know what? It's so far wrong. It's the king of wrong media.
Oh, okay.
And
David says, why is it a franchise? I've never understood the term for movie anyway. No, I don't, David, but they do it. And, you know, when I suppose it's because you have a book, a film, and then the second film and the third film, and that's why they call it a franchise, a bit like KFC or McDonald's or something. You have one start off and then it all brandishes itself around the world. And I suppose that's why they call it franchise. David, I don't know. It's like I find it stupid. I do find it stupid for people to have services on the internet and they call them channels. Now, if you have a page on Facebook, it is not a channel. A channel is television.
That's correct. Or a radio channel.
Yes. So you can have radio.
Or a body of water is a channel.
Yes. But why is a channel an internet page?
It's not. That's silly.
And they even call internet shops channels, which is equally as silly. Are you still there, Mark?
I am, yeah, but I'm trying to sort of, I don't know why. I'm just not understanding what's going on here because I never even knew that Facebook was known as a channel.
No, it's true. True, Rachel?
True. Stupid, but true.
Yeah. Well, you learned.
I believe you. I just hadn't heard of it. So I'm just surprised, you know.
Educational program.
An old-fashioned kind of guy.
Yeah. You know what we call that in Australia, though. Don't you, Mark?
No.
It's a flaming galah.
A what?
A what?
A galah is a bird.
A galah?
A galah is an Australian bird, and it is known to be one of the most stupid birds. So when something is stupid, when a person is stupid, they're a flaming galah.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Mm. Mm.
And again, boys and girls, apologies for the interweb connection. Not much we can do about it. I just
don't know what is actually my hubby just arrived home and he said that all over this region where we are currently, their telephone and internet connections are terrible due to horrendous bushfire.
There we go. Well, Rachel will be professional broadcasters and stick with it.
And the show must go on.
We'll have a stiff upper lip.
Goodbye.
Let's talk about that particular subject as your good man has just come in. We'll move along to the snow disaster in the UK. Whilst Australia bakes under temperatures of 45.8°C, which was recorded at the Observatory Hill in Sydney yesterday. Unbelievable. Let's go to, believe it or not, our Australian correspondent, Rachel. Is it really, really that bad down there?
Really, really that bad. Today, my very own weatherman, who is Henry O'Donovan on Facebook, because every second post is about the weather with God, poor love Henry. It was 46.7 this afternoon.
No!
Where he was. And the terrible thing about that, of course, is that because of certain strata rules where Henry lives in his apartment block, he's not allowed air conditioning. So he's rightly annoyed and rightly very warm, and it's too hot for you to go outside or go to the beach or something because you'll just burst into flames.
I don't understand. Why is he not allowed air conditioning?
Because the council has said that air conditioning unit on the side of the building would make it look ugly.
Well, that's okay. Get one of the ones that stands inside and put the pipe out like a dryer.
Well, I said that, and the problem he said with that was the fact that the humidity is quite bad this year, so those units don't tend to work because they're not evaporative, they're refrigerated, so it defeats the whole purpose.
No, I don't agree. You tell him from me.
Having a witch.
Well, yeah, probably. But you tell him from me, we've actually got them here because originally we ran on external aircon, and the problem we have with external aircon, and it's an Eric thing, is you have to be very, very careful if you're asthmatic with external things and filters and all sorts of weird and wonderful things.
Yeah.
So what we did is we went from those to the portable versions, which you can just yourself put new filters in. And on the odd occasions that they're needed, we just stick the pipe out of the window and, hey, presto, we're down to sort of 22 degrees in a couple of minutes. And they do actually have a container for... for the water to come out of the atmosphere and or put some back in if you need to. So you can go either way with it. And that, they are very, very good, as we said. Really good.
I'll add a word to him. But I know that we've got the Australian Open here at the moment in Melbourne. And, you know, tennis players from around the world have come along to play at Rod Laver Arena. And it was 39 degrees yesterday when they played.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the court, it was 45. So it's horrendous. The weather actually where I am isn't too bad. No, it was only 34.
Right.
And the humidity is the killer up here because we're in the tropics, so it was about 89%. But I have the air conditioner running 24 hours a day.
Gosh. Well, so, we did actually see on the TV yesterday the guys playing Andy Thingamajiggy, the Scottish gentleman, playing the game. And, you know, he came off of court. He played incredibly hard, won quickly. And the first thing he did after the match was jump into an ice bath.
Yeah, they would have had to. It's terrible, terrible at the moment. But, you know, we persevere. We have had a fatality with one of our firefighters, though. Yeah, we were talking about this last week. We wanted everybody to remain safe, and a Victorian firefighter has died while fighting a fire in Tasmania, and that's very sad.
So yeah, our thoughts and prayers for the family.
Half the country's on fire still, but that's what you get from in Australia.
Okay, boys and girls, just before, Mark, just a second. Boys and girls, for those of you who just joined us, we are sticking with the connection to Rachel in Queensland. She's just informed us that both the internet and telephone services are struggling down there to meet requirements because of all the bushfires. Apologies for the audio quality, but we're staying with it. Mark, back to you.
I was just wondering how long it goes on for. I mean, I know that it's unusually hot, but, you know, how long does the hot period go on for, Rachel?
It generally starts in about October and goes through till about late March.
Late March. So you could have another few weeks of this kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit longer. I mean, we're in an unprecedented drought season at the moment. Last year and the year before, we were in flood conditions up here in Queensland. You guys would have heard about our floods. And we had a big old cyclone as well a couple of years ago. So that was a bit scary. And we've got a big cyclone, you know, off the coast of Western Australia at the moment. I mean, it's just bananas. But at the moment, we're in unprecedented, even up here in Queensland, where I live, it's supposed to be the wet season, and I've seen it rain once since October. So and everything's brown and crunchy, and as soon as you get brown and crunchy and it's heat, there goes fires.
I think we're losing Rachel altogether. Hopefully not. Yeah. She'll come.
I heard brown and crunchy. Brown and crunchy is Paris. That's what it reminds me of. Brown and crunchy.
Let's move on to the UK for a bit of news about that one. Schools are being closed all over the UK because of the snow. Roads closing. And I've got a great fun story because my phone went off, I guess it was about 8 last night. And it was the chairman calling. So, you know, being the dutiful boy that I am, I answered the phone. And I started talking, he went, no, hang on, I've got a story for you, and I will share the story. He got up yesterday morning at 3 a.m. to catch the early flight to Vienna, which was delayed out of London until 11 o'clock. So he's now been up about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, lots, anyway, quite a few hours. The plane eventually takes off from London, gets to Vienna and starts to circle. The pilot apologises and said, Vienna Airport is currently closed. We're seeing if they can reopen it or we're going to be diverting to the other airport in Austria, which they do. They then stick him on a bus, which takes another hour to get him back to Vienna Airport. Yeah. He then has to get a cab, because there's no other way of doing it for him, from Vienna to Bratislava to pick up his driver, who then starts off driving back to here. He phones me at 7 in the evening, and he's still got an hour to go. And that is the weather conditions creating chaos all over Europe. And this is a guy that, he's very much like me, we'll get there whatever. But even for somebody like him, it was an absolute disaster. 3 a.m. in the morning, leave home. 7 p.m. the next night, not even in your destiny. Whoa.
Is there anywhere in the world where there's normal, decent weather at the moment?
Do you know, that's a really good question.
Really? you know, either we're in drought or we're freezing cold or we're drowning.
Yeah.
Or burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm racking my brain to find somewhere normal.
Well, don't take too long about that.
No, well, I haven't got a big enough brain, so don't worry. I haven't got my shoes off, Mark. It's all right. no.
Google on.
Yeah, go and have a Google while we introduce the next topic, which I think, to me, this is just abhorrent. Totally and utterly abhorrent. And let me share the reason why. If you missed it, and I don't know why you missed it, there was an incredibly sad helicopter crash in London this week where the helicopter bashed into the crane. And it was a guy called Pete Barnes. And the reason so many people in the media, you know, really picked on and pushed the story is that Pete was a well-known person in the broadcasting circles. Everybody trusted him 100%. He's done stuff for Sky, BBC. He's been the eye in the sky for radio stations.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is just, he's just a good guy. And in his spare time, after doing all that, he also used to help the air ambulance service around him and fly again on his own dollar and help people. And, you know, people will genuinely say that he saved lives. Now, along with Pete, there was a guy killed, Matthew Wood, who was walking to work, was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Debris came down and killed him. That's just tragic. But this is obscene. His sister, Matthew Wood's sister, had her house burgled when she was over sorting out her brother's belongings in his house.
No.
I cannot believe somebody would do that.
That's disgusting.
I'd hang him from the bottom of a flipping helicopter and let him bump into a few buildings, I think. The sister is over there with the family grieving, and these guys have nicked jewellery from this girl's house. And the only reason she found out is the neighbour phoned up because she was there with the police. They kicked the bottom panel of a door in and, you know, just rummaged through the house. I mean, how awful can that be? And how insensitive can these burglars be? Give them the jewellery back, if nothing else.
Exactly, because that stuff's irreplaceable. That could have been a granny's or, you know, anything.
Well, it could have been something from the brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I just find that really offensive.
Me too.
Just give it back, guys. If you know anybody that sticks this on the fences, just get it back to them. It don't matter. And I was like, that's enough of that. I've been banging on for a long time that although Nokia were in the doldrums for a very, very long time, and Mark will probably laugh at me for this because I kept going on, Nokia will be all right, did I not, Mark?
Well, I'm very surprised. I thought that it was going to be bye-bye Nokia, but apparently they're making a comeback, as you say, partly because of their new super-duper phone, the Lumia. I've never seen one. I think now they're in bed with Microsoft Gates.
Yes, they are. And as I've reminded everybody on several occasions, I apologise if you've heard it before, the guy who was one of the senior bods at Microsoft went over to become the boss of Nokia. And I knew they were going to do summer, because that's the only reason these things happen. They brought out the Lumia, which is the Windows 8 phone. And I have to say, as much as I love my HTC phone, I really want a Lumia phone now.
My mum's got one, and my mum is not she's a technophobe, or as I call her, a moron.
Yeah.
But she loves her Lumia, and it's great because she, you know, my mum's got multiple sclerosis, so her hands are giving way, and so her vision. So she loves this phone. She just loves this phone, and she's always going on about Microsoft this and Microsoft that.
Yeah.
And she loves it, loves her Lumia.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is they sold millions of these things, which obviously is good for Microsoft themselves because it's all based on their platform. And I can't find anybody that once they've got a Lumia doesn't rant on about it.
Mm.
Really?
I really rant like a mad person. And Mum also picked up one of those Microsoft Surfers.
Yeah.
as well, because she wants, like us Apple people, she wants all her technology to speak to each other.
Hang on, Rach. You said your mum was a bit of a numpty. No, she can't be. No, she can't be. No.
She's a genius.
She's a genius because she's gone Lumia phone with Microsoft tablet and hasn't gone Apple. She's a genius.
She's a genius. She had me, and that's all I'll say. I love my mum. She's beautiful.
Well, there you go. Anyway, Nokia shares have closed up 11% in Helsinki and 18.7% in New York. It was predicted on this programme, boys and girls, and it seems to be right. Talking of the Christmas winners and losers we did a bit earlier in the programme, Curry's owner Dixon's has reported strong Christmas sales. Funny that they've got good online servicing. Yes. Another big winner. Oh, they're coming to you. That's why I've got this story. Another big winner, 25% growth, was Primark. Do you have a Primark in Australia?
No.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Well, you guys have got lots of good shops that we don't have.
Yeah, well, the good news for you, Mark.
Yeah.
Primark are coming to Paris.
Oh, really? Aren't they the one that used children work for children?
No. That was another bit of one of those thingies. And another good winner over Christmas was Argos, the catalogue company. They switched over to a click and collect system, which is genius. Total genius. Yeah. It really is.
Can I say, one feature of Argos always has been, and this has been, all shops really had lots of surface, ground surface dedicated to exhibiting products and this sort of thing. And Argos, as long as, 20 years ago, well, how long has Argos been around?
Cool,
but they've
years.
Always been a sort of online shop, but not online. In other words, you've gone there, and all you've done is you've looked at their catalogues, and then you've selected the stuff, and so really it was just a warehouse. So Argos have always been sort of a halfway shop between a real shop, or a halfway house between a real shop and an online shop. And I think that means that Argos will have no difficulty about making the transition to a fully online organisation.
I just think it's brilliant.
I think Argos is going to be a stayer.
I really do, because it's the best of both worlds. As Mark quite rightly said, it was a book before. Now you go online, you order your stuff, it's ready for you when you go in the shop. You don't have to wait for somebody to deliver it. They've got outlets all over the place. Yeah. So you have a look at it, go. And when you get to the shop, you can actually just check it and go, is that what I really wanted? But you haven't got a sod about waiting. It's brilliant.
If you don't want it, just say, no, I don't want it.
Yeah. It's brilliant. You don't have to send it back, muck about, and all sorts of other things. And apparently it's now producing huge percentages of their revenue stream.
Absolutely.
Which is...
Well, I expect it's going to help a lot of people make this cultural jump. I think that, this click and click...
Ten seconds, Mark.
Well, I think it's going to stop eventually. I think they're in a good position to make the leap.
There you go. Time to say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye, Rachel. And goodbye, Eric.
And goodbye, Mark and Rachel. And apologies once again for the lines. We hope they're going to be a little bit better next week when Queensland cools down a little bit.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.